The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all of the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm going to be honest, about halfway through the week this week, I had a plan to forego preaching on the parables completely that Jesus tells in this week's gospel, and I was just going to preach on those first two verses. It can be easy to kind of jump over them in favor of the parables Jesus tells, but when we come back, I think they can be quite instructive to us. Luke begins telling this story. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. They were murmuring. They were complaining about who Jesus chooses to spend his time with. They were grumbling because they took Jesus' presence with the outcast and the sinner as a slight to them. Those who were upright. The Greek word used for grumble here is this word diegonguzon, which is just kind of a fun word to say, right? Diegonguzon. And the only other time that this particular word is used in all of Scripture is later in Luke's gospel to describe the reaction of the religious leaders when Jesus goes to eat with Zacchaeus. It's grumbling, but with an undercurrent of just contempt. It's a grumbling with a full helping of superiority on the side. An attitude of saying, these people are worthless. Why would Jesus go spend time with them when Jesus could be spending time with us? I have to say, it feels like that contempt, that just disdain for people we see as different, it feels like something we're getting way too good at in our world. This feeling of just despising those who are different from us, it feels like the water we swim in these days. There's a relationship therapist named John Gottman, and he lists contempt as one of the four horsemen of the relationship apocalypse, he calls them. He says contempt destroys the fabric of any relationship, whether that's a relationship with family, friends, or the broader community. On my imagination, this grumbling that's happening in Luke's gospel is loud enough so that Jesus overhears. And this is the reason why I'm not just going to stay in these two verses, right? Because even though it feels like this is a place where we as a culture, as a world, spend a lot of time. Jesus responds to this, like he often does, with stories. And so he tells them this series of parables. And these may be stories that we've heard many times, but I'll invite us to just dive a little deeper in to see how they might speak to the contempt that we see or we may feel in our world. Jesus begins these parables by asking a question. Right? He says, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and invites them in, says, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. Just so I tell you, Jesus says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, we don't hear Luke tell us the reaction of the grumblers, but we have an idea that he has their attention. I love how Jesus asks this question because for him, it's like it's a no-brainer. Which one of you? Right? Of course you'd leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one that's lost. Of course. And then he goes on. Or what woman, he says, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When we actually read these parables, dive into a little deeper of what Jesus is saying here. And I assume when the crowds first heard Jesus tell them, so little of the parable is actually focused on what was lost. Right? We call these the parables of the lost sheep, the parables of the lost coin. So that might be why the lostness reigns so heavily in our minds. But there's just two things that stick out just as much as the lostness. And the first thing is the eagerness and the diligence of the shepherd and the woman who are searching. Right? The woman lights a lamp. She sweeps the house. She is searching so carefully. And the second thing is, a lot of these parables are focused on the joy that spreads throughout the entire community when what was lost has been found. I wonder how we hear this story would change if we focus less on what was lost and more on the persistence shown by the search parties and the joy that was felt by the whole community once something was found. This always reminds me of something that happened to my family when my daughter Lily was a baby. She was just over a year old, and we had a remote control for our DVD player, and that controlled everything. Basically, the only TV programming we had was through this remote. And then I was having coffee one morning, and Lily was playing with the remote. And later in the afternoon, Lily came and asked to put Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood on. We couldn't find the remote. And so we looked and looked, couch cushions under furniture, every room, every cupboard in the fridge. I dug through a trash bag on three separate occasions, thinking she may have put the remote in there. Right? She's one, she knows maybe five words. She can't tell us where she put it. We had neighbors and friends coming over to help us look. the community became deeply invested in this, where was the remote? We didn't find it for 3 days. Have you ever gone 3 days with a one-year-old and no access to a screen? It can be tough. We were getting a snack for her out of our pantry, and we reached into the back of the shelf for a Puffs container. And I noticed it was a little heavier than usual. I shook it around, and it sounded a little more plasticky than Puffs usually sound. So I opened it, and lo and behold, the remote was in an empty Puffs container in the back of the bottom shelf of a pantry, a door I didn't know she could open. There it was. Let me tell you about the dance party we had in the kitchen that night when we were able to find it. We still celebrate it every year. December 8th is Happy Puffs Container in the Clap household. Some of those friends who came over to help us look, they still text us every December 8th in celebration. Right, reading these parables, we know that it's not just about sheep and coins, right? Jesus is telling these stories to get our attention, to tell us something about us, right? It's about all the ways that we wander off and get lost. And it's about all the ways that even when it's not us wandering off to get lost, it's all of the ways the contempt that we can feel winds up disconnecting us from the rest of our community. Winds up disconnecting us from those who are feeling lost. I love how Episcopal priest Robert Capon, he writes about this parable. And he says, a lost sheep for all practical purposes is a dead sheep. He says, a lost coin is likewise a dead asset. But he says, God alone gives life. And he gives it freely and fully on no conditions whatsoever. These stories, these parables of God's grace are of grace and grace only. There's not a single note of anything the sheep or the coin did to earn their finding. There is only the gracious and saving determination of the shepherd and the woman to raise what is dead. These aren't just a couple of parables about how to treat people better, although that is important. This is Jesus telling us about life that really is life. It's Jesus offering us a way back from contempt, which is shared joy. We've all been in the place of the religious leaders deciding deserving from undeserving, doing our own kind of grumbling, casting judgments when we really are sometimes the sheep who has wandered off. And still, each and every time, God pursues us, not just with the love of Jesus, not just with the love of a community that surrounds us and holds us when we are feeling lost, but with a saving grace that drops our sins and missteps down the black hole of Jesus' death. And what God does is God always finds us in that desert, that wilderness of death, in the judgmental webs of our own making. And then in the power of Jesus' resurrection, he puts us on his shoulders rejoicing and brings us home. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.